Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be in this morning, and this morning we're talking about being spiritually stuck. I think a lot of times when we think about being stuck, our mind may go back to, I think about the Thailand soccer team that was stuck in a cave we read about several years ago, and divers had to go in, and I just think, I'm kind of claustrophobic, so I think about being trapped or being stuck somewhere is absolutely frightening, and while we should be afraid of that, equally, we should be concerned and afraid of being spiritually stuck. And I think, I want to applaud you guys this morning. I think when we look back over the last several months and the season that we've been in, the fact that you are here this morning, that you are present this morning, shows me and shares with me that you desire to keep growing. I think it's easy in this last season to just kind of quit and to kind of throw in the towel and say, I surrender, I don't know what to do. And honestly, that's not a bad place to be. And I think that's a place where God meets us. And I hopefully, and as we kind of look back over the last several months, you kind of see yourself in a place, in a position of going, hey, I don't want to just be stuck. I want to continue growing. I don't want to be spiritually stagnant. I want to continue growing in knowledge and understanding and passion and love for Jesus. And that's what this passage is about this morning. This is a very famous passage. Many of you who have been maybe in church for a while are familiar with this passage, but this passage has a lot of encouragement to keep running and encouragement to don't stop. Now, you may not be where you want to be in your spiritual race today, and that's okay, but the encouragement is keep running. Keep running. Keep pursuing Jesus. Keep running after him. And so we're going to read Philippians 3, 12 through 21. I'm going to grab my Bible here in a second. But I want to remind you, because Paul is going to finish a thought in this section that we're going to look at, Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Paul's going to finish a thought that he started. And ultimately, we looked at 2 weeks ago. And the first one is this. Paul said, he has found Jesus to be the thing of ultimate value worth pursuing. We see that in 3:8, where he said, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. There is surpassing value, worth found in Jesus. And that's what Paul says. He is the ultimate thing of value worth pursuing. And 2, that he kind of summarizes, that I'll summarize, 8 through 10. He basically says, I want more of Jesus, and I desire to be like him. That is what Paul says before he starts this train of thought in verse 12. In verse 12, he says this, and I'll read on through 21. He says, not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. What's he talking about? I haven't obtained Christ's likeness. I haven't obtained this sense of perfection of being like Jesus. Not that I've already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing, his one primary purpose, what does he do? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, Paul is crying as he's writing this letter. He said, there are some that walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul, I just want to pause and say, there are some that Paul would even right now, as I'm reading these words to you, that Paul, as a pastor, his heart is broken because there are some that are walking as enemies of Jesus. And Paul's desire in this text, and my desire this morning, is that you would know Jesus, that you would pursue Jesus. Paul is writing with tears in his eyes for these that walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He says in verse 19, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So Paul is telling us in this text, he's helping us to see, how do we run the Christian race? How do we stay motivated in this race? How do we run for the prize, which is Jesus? And the first thing Paul is going to tell us, don't quit. Never quit. Never quit. Paul says, I press on. Paul is saying, I haven't arrived. I think a lot of times we look at this text, and I think it's an appropriate application, but it's basically forget all of your sinful past and just keep pursuing Jesus. I think that's an application that we can take from this text. I believe that's true in alignment with Scripture. That we're not to allow our past failures to define us. But really what Paul is speaking on in this text is, don't let your past successes cause you to feel like you've arrived. Paul had just given this resume of all these things that he had earned and all of these things that he had obtained. And he talked about earlier that he considered them rubbish, that they were trash. And it's basically, don't let your past successes cause you to just grow stagnant in your faith. Don't live off of yesterday's meal. Your journey with Jesus, and I think back, you know, like times in which I've pursued Jesus, and I think back my college years and how Jesus, and he was so real and my faith was so vibrant. And while that fed me in that season, I'm not to just grow stagnant and say that once was. I'm to continue to pursue Jesus today and long for that. I call this the Uncle Rico disease, all right? If you've ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico is constantly talking about his high school days, right? Like, you know, like when I was back in high school, I could throw a football over those mountains, you know? Like, this is kind of his mentality. And maybe some of us kind of have this Uncle Rico mentality when it comes to our faith in Jesus. You know, well, back in 94, I read the Bible cover to cover. And the thing is no matter what you've done, whether your failures or your past successes, today he's calling us to pursue him. Right now, this morning, he's calling us to pursue him. I press on towards the goal. Paul is saying, he's pressing on because there's something to obtain. There's something that he's reaching for. There's some here this morning who would say, I'm not where I want to be. And some of us, I see that in some, that's a quitting point. That's a point of for a lot of people that it's kind of a point of decision of whether or not they keep pursuing Jesus. I'm not where I want to be. And I want to tell you this morning that all of us should be saying, I'm not where I want to be. We all have growth. The church, hear me, the church is full of imperfect people. None of us have arrived. None of us, and that shouldn't be a measure of us of just like, we'll be as sinful as we possibly can and live in a way in which that does not honor and glorify God. Absolutely not. But we are to pursue and press on. And if we're here today and say, I have room for growth, what a gift, what a grace, because God has revealed it to us. And Paul is saying that is a sign of maturity, to know that you have yet to arrive, that you have yet to reach perfection, that there is much growth that needs to happen. And this just goes to show that God is at work. That God's at work. He actually tells us in this text, if we keep reading, of why we shouldn't quit. And he says, I haven't obtained this. And then he goes on, but I want to lay hold of Christ. Why? Because Christ has laid hold of me. I want to lay hold of Christ because Christ has laid hold of me. Here's what he's sharing in this text. This idea of laying hold is a phrase or a term used by Paul that was used in war or athletics. And it basically is to pursue an enemy. And we're like, well, that's kind of strange. But at once we were all enemies of Jesus, and he laid hold of us. He pursued us. If we know the story of Paul, Paul was headed off to go and to persecute faithful believers in Jesus, and Jesus pursued him. Jesus pursued his enemy and laid hold of his heart, and he initiated faith in Paul and opened his eyes to the truth of the gospel, and Paul's life was changed. And Paul, recognizing that Jesus reached out and initiated and motivated and propelled his faith, he's saying, it's with that same pursuit that Jesus pursued me that I'm going to pursue him. So my question is, are we pursuing Jesus in that way? And I think it's easy to assume, like, heck, you guys are here this morning. Like, obviously, you care about Jesus. You want to show up. You want to hear, but I know better than to assume. How's your personal relationship and pursuit of Jesus this morning? In the same way that he seized you, are you seizing him? You might be running from him this morning, but in the same way as Paul was running from him, he was pursuing him. Jesus is pursuing you this morning. And maybe for some of us, we just got to stop running. He's pursuing you. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. And Paul says in verse 13, he said, I haven't always pursued Jesus. I haven't already obtained this. And if that's you this morning, you're in good company. You can start the race today. The first book I ever read when I became a Christian, which seemed like a heavy reader at the time, and I probably wouldn't recommend it to most Christians today, but I read A.W. Tozer's Pursuit of God. That was the first book I ever grabbed. I went to local Christian bookstore. They actually have those in Texas, even though they don't exist here. But I went and I grabbed that book and I started reading, and there was something that I read that has shaped me all of my life. And I'll share it with you in a brief synopsis. But basically he said, how tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. In a sense, you show up, Justin teaches, Garrett sings, and that's the seeking, that's the pursuit. Our pastor pursues Jesus, and we hear from our pastor. But the truth is, all of us are called to pursue. All of us are called to run after Jesus. He said, everything is made to center upon, in Christian life, we have this idea of accepting Christ. It's kind of a moment where we accept Christ. And we're not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation or God to our souls. And so our craving, once we accept Christ, we quit. Paul is instructing us, don't quit. Don't quit. The rest of your life, keep pursuing Jesus. Keep running after Jesus. Keep seeking to know more of Jesus. Keep seeking to know more of his heart, his character, his love, his passions, his life. And ask God to stir those things and create a hunger in you. Matthew 5:6. It said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We are to have a hunger, an appetite for more and more of Jesus, and that is never satisfied on this side of heaven. Don't quit. Number two, Paul reminds us to remember what you run for. Why are you running? Thanksgiving's coming up. The annual turkey trot, right? Anybody ever done a turkey trot? Come on, you can be proud of your past successes, all right? Like, you ran a turkey trot. So me and my daughter, Lila Kate, ran a turkey trot last year, and I'm highly competitive. I don't care what we're running for. If we're running to win, all right? Like, we're going to win. And so I set the pace for her. I knew I couldn't win, but I knew I could press her that she could win. And so I was like, I'm going to set the pace for you, and we're going to win this thing. And so she was getting tired, and I'm like, keep running, keep running. Why were we running? Because you win a pie. Pumpkin pie. We got a pumpkin pie at the end of that race. And it gave us the motivation to get out there and run. Here's the thing. Christ has given us much more motivation than a pumpkin pie. He's given us reason to wake up every single day because the prize we earn is more of Him. And if we know Paul, Paul is saying there is nothing of comparison when it comes to Jesus. That is the ultimate prize worth running for. He says, this is my one thing. This is my one aim. We got a lot of things going on in life, but make it your one aim to run for the prize, which is Jesus. He's worth it, church. He's worth it to run after and to never stop pursuing. This morning, if you're here and you feel an empty longing and seeking for something to satisfy, all of the saints of old have communicated that in us, there's this God-shaped vacuum, this God-shaped hole that only Christ can fill. I always think about that little toy that has like the shapes when you're a kid, and only that shape. And there is a God-sized shaped hole in all of humanity's, in all of our life. And only God can fill it. And if only God, that's why he's saying, I make it my one aim to obtain Jesus, to lay hold of Jesus, because Jesus laid hold of me. Is that your one aim? Is that your one goal? Remember what you run for. Because when you remember what you run for, you never quit running. I met a man who retired about a year and a half ago. And I said, hey, share with me, like, how's retirement going? How's, you know, in some ways, like, we get to the end of our career, and I, my thought is, like, you don't quit running. You just put your energy into other things. But here's a man who's late 60s, early 70s, and he basically is saying, yeah, I retired a year and a half ago. And I was like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm taking some classes at the U. And I was like, well, that's fascinating. Like, I love that pursuit. And I was like, that's the type of pursuit we're to have after Jesus. That we never quit learning. We never quit seeking. We never quit pursuing. Why? Because we remember what we run for. We're running for Jesus. We're running to know Jesus, love Jesus, and live for Jesus. Third thing, I've said this over and over and over again. I'm going to keep saying this over and over and over again because this is Christianity 101, 201, 301, 401. You got to find some people to run with. You got to find some people to run with. And like, Justin, I know you've spoken about community. You will not make it on your own. Lone Ranger Christianity is death. You will lead to your destruction if you try to do this on your own. You need people to encourage you. What he says in verse 17, Paul says, as he's talking about this running after Jesus, pursuing Jesus, he says, what? Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He's like, you want to know how to run? Find some people that are running. Find some people that are running strong. Find some people that can help set the pace for you. Friends help you pace. Friends help you have encouragement to keep going. Friends push you beyond what you even thought was possible. Friends model the way when you get off track, and you will get off track, and they help you get back on track. And Paul's basically saying, follow my example. Look to me. Surround yourself with people that are running the race. I used to put CrossFit references in every single one of my sermons a while back. And CrossFit's a great example. And I'm a firm believer that, like, I don't care where you work out. If you're wanting results, there's a reason why CrossFit is so effective. All right? And I'll put CrossFit up against Gold's Gym, Vasa Fitness, everything else. Why? You pay for the community. When you show up at a CrossFit class, there is a community of people that are there cheering you on, helping you, encouraging you. You pay $150 a month for community, for friends. And because of it, you see lasting results. And you walk out of Vasa Fitness, and you're like, man, I look the same as I did when I did 6 months ago. Because no one's in Vasa Fitness pushing you, pressing you, encouraging you, saying, hey, you're going to show up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. That's the only reason why CrossFit is so effective, is because there's a community of people there that are willing to encourage you and challenge you. I have a friend who recently wrote a book. He authored a book. And I'm like, why didn't I not think of this? Because he paid for a community of people that they all got on Zoom every morning at 6 a.m. and they didn't talk. They just did it for accountability. They were in this group and they would all write during that hour, but they would just see each other on Zoom. And I'm like, that's a brilliant business idea, right? Like, what do you have to do? Do nothing, host a group, and just tell people, write your own book, but just get online, look at each other, because that gives you the motivation because you have community. All I'm saying in all of this, guys, you will not finish the race if you're running by yourself. You need people to run with. Paul is basically saying, imitate me. Look at how I'm running. And there's some of us who are younger in our faith who we need to see somebody who's ran the race a little bit longer than us. We need to pair ourselves up with folks, and I'm thankful to see some of that. Our hope and desire with Equip groups that we're launching is that you would pair your life up with people who are running the race, that would be encouragement and accountability to keep going. Lastly, know that running the race well will require discipline. Know that running the race well will require discipline. Paul says in verse 18, this is where he's sharing with them in tears. He said, there's some that walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? They lack discipline. Why? Because God is their belly. They feed every appetite. They eat everything in the kitchen. All right? They're not disciplined. And I love 1 Timothy 4:7-8. It says, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, because it holds the promise for the present life and for the life to come. It requires training and discipline. So my question to you this morning is, how's your race going? Are you dissatisfied with how you've ran this last season? Well, forget what lies behind. We got a race ahead of us. There's some of us who, maybe you hear me this morning, I talk about discipline, and automatically you're like, I'm going to go read through the New Testament this afternoon. And I'm telling you, hey, the race is not a sprint. You're going to fizzle out. That's why we need some pace setters. We need some people that help us understand this isn't, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's for the long haul. Running faithfully hard after Jesus. I love, you've heard me share this, Eugene Peterson, a long obedience in the same direction. We're just constantly pursuing Jesus, constantly running after Jesus. So that would be my encouragement to you this morning. Don't quit. Remember what you run for. Remember the prize that is Jesus. Find some people that you can run this race with. You won't make it alone. And know that it's going to require discipline. One of the things that we wanted to share with you guys this morning is that really kind of pertains to this text is the location in which we're headed is a church that has actually been around in the Salt Lake Valley since 1857. These are people who have ran the race well for a long time. It's an older church. Greg's going to give some more details, but I just want to share this about this church. This church is inviting us to partner with them in a sense of looking at what does it look like to help them finish their race, as they're an older congregation. But secondly, what does it look like for us to partner with them to help motivate us for our race? We all have a race. We all have a race to run. And we all need encouragement. And I'm thankful that in God's providence, at least for this season, is that God is pairing us with people to help run the race well. And so I want to invite you to pray with me and pray as Greg even shares this morning that we could do just that. That we would be motivated to run our race well and that we would help those who are desiring not to quit. Just because they're old, it's not like, hey, let's throw in the towel, we've arrived. But they're going, we want to keep running, but we need some help from you. And so I love how God is bringing that together. I want Greg to kind of share a little bit about what that journey looks like. Then we're going to pray together. Garrett's going to come up and sing, and then we'll be dismissed.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. So you guys know we're meeting outside, if you didn't know. And hey, I just really appreciate and want to say thank you guys for your flexibility in this season. I know it's been a challenge. I know that there has been a lot of challenges both in our gathering space, but also just in our country, in your family, I mean, just overall. So thank you for your flexibility in this season, and thank you for the priority of wanting to gather together. One of the biggest encouragements for me in this last season has been that we as a church value one another. We as a church value seeing one another. And so as we began really praying through and thinking through and planning for the fall, we were like, man, it's going to get cold. Our time is running out. I mean, this was months ago, and we were praying and seeking and looking at different options. And then we got a letter in the mail that was from this church, the first congregational church in Utah. And they're on right just north of I-80 off Foothill, literally a mile north of I-80. And that's where their building is. But they were the first congregational church in Utah apart from the LDS. So that's the history and the heritage that these folks have been living in. The people that we've been meeting with have been a part of the church for over 40 years, and they are, as Justin said, they're a dwindling congregation. They're an older congregation that has a 35,000 square foot building, a gymnasium, and a bunch of resources. And they're honestly just like, man, how do we pass this on to the next generation? How do we give this away? And they're not in it for the money. They're not in it for their own name. They just want the gospel to go forth in Utah. They want the gospel to continue to spread. And we have been growing in relationship with them just to be able to connect, to say, hey, there's a way that this legacy can continue. And there's a way that as you have sown the gospel, that we can join with you and spread the gospel. And so what we're going to be doing this next Sunday is we're going to be gathering in their gymnasium. And so there's going to be plenty of room to spread out all of the details of, you know, our sick policy and masks and sanitization and all of those things we're going to be communicating this week. So I don't want to spend our time this morning communicating all those details. I will give you those details through the week. So be looking for that on our social media, and please abide by them. I will kick you out if you don't. No, just kidding. Not really. But at the same time, like, those are important details, and I want you guys to know that we have been strategic in this, wanting to continue to gather as long as we can face to face. We will do that as long as viably possible, and we will make whatever way we can in that. But it's going to come with some sacrifice, and it's going to come with some other challenges as we meet indoors. So just in terms of moving to First Congregational, man, we're super excited. It's easy access to get to. I was talking to someone earlier this morning, and they're like, man, it's not necessarily close, but it's really easy to get to. So I guess that's good. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. It's right off of 80. And honestly, guys, like, when we've been meeting with them, they're like, you guys have kids? How many kids do you have? You have over 80 kids? Holy moly, we have two. And we love being grandparents, and we want to, like, be around this other generation, and we love our organ, though, too. But that's just the place that they're at, and they want to give away what it looks like to be faithful in the valley, but at the same time, like, they have their own, you know, quirks, and that's okay. But we get to be a blessing to them. When they first started as a church in the 1800s, as Justin said, they had Orthodox, they had Catholic, they had Episcopalian, they had everybody gathering in that building, and there was a unity. There was a bond in the church because they were supporting one another. And so as we were having this conversation of what does it look like for us to come in, they were like, honestly, we've done this before 100 years ago. And also 10 years ago, we did it then too. So they have some experience of what it looks like to be for one another. And honestly, guys, we get to be blessed by that. We get to inherit a blessing from them, just in relationship and the use of their building as well. But we also get to be a blessing to them. And you don't have to do anything special. Just be who you are. Pray for them, love them. They're trying to journey what it looks like for the next season. They're trying to discover what's going to happen a year from now for them. And so just be in prayer for them. Bring some energy. And as you meet them, I think Alpha's meeting there tonight, and you'll meet some of the folks that are there. Just encourage them and just say thank you for being faithful. So that's the journey. That's kind of where we're moving. We're moving next week. 9 o'clock will be a service, and so we'll give some more details around all the gathering spaces then. If you have any questions, please feel free to come up and talk to us or contact us throughout the week. Anything else you want to add to that?
No. He said 9 o'clock. We don't necessarily know the times just yet.
That's fair.
So we'll get all the details will come this week. Let me say something about that, because somebody mentioned, like, hey, where do you guys post details? Everywhere. Did you not see the plane fly over that, like, we sent social media, emails, through our app? If you didn't get a notification this morning, because I sent one out this morning, then turn on your notifications on that actual app that you downloaded. Sign up through Planning Center on our website to get our emails. 99% of you got an email. It just went to your junk email box. So be sure I send out all the emails, so they come from Justin at Ecclesia. So go ahead and add me to your contacts, and it won't go there. So we try to communicate everywhere. And so look for those details. Be in prayer this week. We do have some further meetings. This is going to be a journey over the next several months. Initially, it was just, hey, come in, journey through the winter, and we'll, you know, see what happens. And then ultimately it turned into, like, no, we want to have a legacy. We want to see people come in. We want to continue to partner together. So we're navigating that. You know, it's been my heart. I've stood up and I said, hey, I want to be at the Gateway long term. And we were there 2 months. Thank you, COVID. All right. We loaded up, like, the Gateway stuff, and I was just, like, eating my words, you know. So I'm not going to say anything about how long we'll be here. But I do thank you for your flexibility and patience in knowing, like, hey, we want a long-term solution. We want to have a long-term presence here in this valley. Yeah. We hope 75 years from now, there's a bunch of youngsters trying to take it from us, all right, and pass on, and that they would keep running their race, and we would be able to encourage them in theirs. So that's what it's all about. That's what we're hoping to do. You pray for us. Garrett, lead us.
Yep. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, thank you for this season. Thank you for the beauty of your creation that we have gotten to experience, not only the public nature of your proclaimed word, that we say that Jesus, you are life, that in you we live and move and have our being, in you sustain us as we run, as we enjoy the beauty of creation, as we sing to you and worship and praise. Thank you for the world that you have created. Thank you that it declares your glory, that it is your thumbprint, that we get to see your greatness and your power. Lord, I do thank you for those who have gone before us. I thank you for this church, this First Congregational. Lord, I pray for Marge and for Mike and Carla and Phil and Sissy. And Lord, I just pray for each one of these that you would just give them wisdom, Lord, that you would make a way for them as they plan their future, as they think about what they're doing. And Lord, thank you that we get to be in this season together. Thank you that they have opened their doors to us. Thank you that they have modeled to us what it looks like to be generous. And Lord, I pray that you would, you would fill us with gratitude, Lord, that we have a place to lay our head as a church. And Jesus, we know that you said that, man, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. We don't know where we're going to go. And Lord, we felt that. We feel that even now in this season. And Lord, we thank you that you have provided the next step for us. And so, Lord, thank you that we as leaders, we as your church, don't have to have everything figured out. Thank you that we don't have to know 15 steps ahead in the future. But Lord, that we get to trust you, that we get to see you as the King who provides for our daily needs, not the needs of tomorrow, but the needs of today. And Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that would spur us on to live in good deeds and live in faith and live in love, that even as Garrett prayed earlier, that our hearts would not grow cold. Lord, would we be thankful and grateful, and would we praise your name? Lord, I pray just for steadfastness for our church, for this church, for the church in the valley, that people would know you, Jesus, as the sustainer, as their friend, as their guide, and as their King. Lord, thank you for going before us. Thank you for making a way, and thank you for your faithfulness. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.